This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
All indicators of American religiosity are either stable or declining, but the decline is slow, and Americans remain very religious by world standards.
I don't know how much God has to do to get the attention of the politicians. We've had an earthquake, we've had a hurricane. He said, are you going to start listening to me here? Listen to the American people.
With relatively few exceptions, the mass media tend to cover these disputed issues with a combination of ignorance, laziness, and bias against traditional Christian beliefs.
Every word of law, every damning exclamation is given to you for a purpose, to damn you to death, to kill you, to crucify you, and drive you to Jesus.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
One of the more familiar parables that Jesus tells, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's one of those that on the face of it is, well, practically self-explanatory. Jesus doesn't really spend a lot of time delving into any hidden meanings. He just explains it as it is. Two men, they go to the temple to pray. One prays like a Pharisee. He thanks God that he is not like other men. The other, a tax collector, prays like a sinner. And Jesus says that the man who prayed like a sinner, who sought mercy, the blood-bought mercy of God for his sins, goes down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, that's the explanation. That's pretty simple. If it's a sermon, it practically preaches itself. Nevertheless, we'll do a little sermon review here in the first half hour of Issues, etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, September the 6th, we are coming to you live. A sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, on the parable, the Pharisee, and the tax collector. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next 2 hours, you can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Tom Numala of Concordia Publishing House will join us in the next half hour of the program to talk about Esau and Jacob meeting again after 20 years estranged from one another, and there is forgiveness. And right in the middle of that story, of course, there is Jacob wrestling with none other than God himself. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about the comfort that God's law can give. It's not normally where we look for comfort, but this is comfort small c, not eternal comfort, but a kind of comfort afforded by a world where God's law holds sway and where we live within our vocation, serving our neighbor. We'll see what Pastor Wolfmiller has to say about then. And then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will join us for the last few minutes of the program to discuss prayer, its use, our timidity, and how God urges us toward boldness. Now, for every sermon review that we do here, whether it's a good sermon or a bad sermon, we use the same three-part diagnostic. It is built upon what I think is a presupposition of Christian preaching, namely that Christian preaching ought to have specific content. In fact, I would even go so far as to say divinely mandated content. Jesus tells his disciples that he has accomplished everything that Scripture said was necessary, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. And before his ascension, he says that in his name, repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be preached to the whole world. Well, as far as I know, the world's still here, so the task still continues to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Of course, consulting Jesus is enough, but we can also go to St. Paul, who is determined, he says, at least among the Corinthians, to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. You look at those sermons from the apostles, they are preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of the crucified and risen Savior. Not a lot of Christian preaching centers on that anymore. There's the problem. So here's our three-part diagnostic, trying to get to that heart and center of divinely mandated Christian preaching. Number one, how often is Jesus mentioned? This is a simple running tally that you keep while you listen to the sermon, not just this one, but a sermon that you listen to in your church on Sunday morning. How often is Jesus mentioned? Just keep a running tally of how often he's there. Now, if he's not mentioned, you're not hearing a Christian sermon. It may be a Christian preaching. It may be a Christian pastor up there. It may be a Christian-ish message, but it's not the message that preachers are sent to preach if Christ is missing. Keep a simple running tally. If Jesus is mentioned, you can go on to part two. That is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Simple grammar. Is Jesus doing the verbs? Is he running the verbs of the sentence? Is he the subject rather than the object of the verbs in those sentences that make up that sermon? And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, one more very important question, specifically, what are those verbs? Because there are a lot of Jesuses being preached nowadays. Jesus who helps and inspires and motivates. A Jesus who can coach you through life, who can root for you from the sidelines of life. But he is more or less passive. He's an example. He's there to get you going. The rest is up to you. Now, the verbs that we're looking for with regard to Jesus, the verbs that Scripture uses, the Jesus who lives and suffers and dies and rises again, who gives his life for you, who is your substitute in life and in death and in resurrection. So, how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And specifically, what are those verbs? The sermon for our consideration this afternoon comes from Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, on the famous parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus ends that parable after everyone's done praying, saying, that man, the tax collector who would not lift up his eyes to heaven but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's listen to this sermon from Pastor Ben Ball.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. The word is the Holy Gospel from St. Luke chapter 18. You heard St. Paul, his words, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Perhaps a few of you sitting out there have that as your confirmation verse. The problem, of course, is that according to our nature, we don't believe that. We believe that we are justified by what we do, especially in comparison with other people. This is the problem of the Pharisee in the gospel. He does not believe in the God of grace. He believes that God blesses those who work and do things for him. He believes that he is much more righteous than others, especially in comparison to them by what he does outwardly and what they do outwardly. And of course, according to our reckoning, the way we think, this is right, it's good. I give of my offerings. I give so much. I might even give 10%. Look at me, God, especially compared to those people who only give maybe $5 a week. And maybe I know this information because I serve on the church finance board. I'm so much better. I'm not like others. This is how we think. I'm not like those who go and sleep around. I know them. I know what they've done. Thank God I'm not like them. I'm good and content in myself. This is what we think. I'm right. I'm showing up at church. Most of the time, anyway. Oh, I might take a Sunday or two off. But boy, God can't expect too much of me. At least I'm making an effort. Not compared to those people who sent their kids to St. Paul's School and then never show up again. I'm so much better than them. Our sins are great. Our delusion of self-righteousness, comparing ourselves to other people, that sin, that delusion of self-justification is worse than adultery or thievery or even murder. It will send you to hell. Who do we think we are, claiming to be righteous in ourselves, comparing ourselves to others, and not seeing our very deep sin, which would damn us right before our eyes?
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll review a little bit more of the sermon preached by Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, on the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I said at the beginning there, it's hardly a parable because it's so easy to see, as Pastor Ball has pointed out, where our sin lies there, which of these two men we most often are. We'll be right back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only Son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me His body. Give me His blood.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little sermon review to kick off this first live day of broadcasting here this week. It's Tuesday afternoon, September the 6th. The sermon comes from Pastor Ben Ball at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, up near Chicago. He's preaching on the famous parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So far in the sermon, it's a lot of Pharisee, because that's exactly who we are. The greatest danger here is that we simply assume we're not the Pharisee. First, we must entertain the idea, really, we must entertain the fact, that we are the Pharisee before we can understand exactly what is it that justifies this poor tax collector, sinner that he is. Back to the sermon. Remember, we're listening, how often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus a subject of the verbs? And if he is a subject of the verbs, what are those verbs?
Playing the part of the Pharisee. Standing here. God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. Especially that one over there. And maybe even this morning, you saw one when you were walking in that you said, thank God I'm not like them. How dare you? If you exalt yourself in this life, you will be humbled. And that will come from God. If you now know and believe the words that you've heard preached to you, you should rightly act and be just as the tax collector. He did not claim anything for himself. In the temple, he stood afar off. You picture a man with his head hanging down in a corner, ashamed even to be where he was because of his great sins. He knew that the real comparison should not be with other people, but with God and his holiness, the righteousness of God, God's holy word. And for that, he knew he could only beat on his breast and plead for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was his prayer. Be merciful to me, O God, because I know that I am wrecked. My sins are so great. Compared to your holiness and righteousness, I deserve to die. I do not deserve to be in this house. I deserve only temporal and eternal punishment. For my sins of my comparing myself to anyone else, I deserve hell. For my delusions that I thought that I could possibly make myself right in your eyes, I deserve hell. For my unbelief, for my hatred of my neighbor, for my hatred even of you, God, which is expressed in my sins, I deserve nothing. This is what is to be in your heart when you come to this house. Looking to the God who saves by grace alone, in kindness, in Christ Jesus. And justification, a declaration of righteousness before God, comes through faith in the merits of Christ. Because only Christ can save you from what you deserve, from the punishment that should be brought upon you. Only Christ reveals the mercy of God towards sinners, and this in his sacrifice. the temple was a place of sacrifice. All pointing to one. The temple was a place of forgiveness. All pointing to the forgiveness of sins purchased by one sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who receives sinners, who does not despise them. He comes for you. In your deep degradation of your despising others, of your delusions of self-righteousness, of self-justification, he still comes. And he dies. Humbly for you. That by his grace, given freely, you would be righteous in the sight of the Father. And that, astonishingly, is what you are, is in our hearts, towards the God who saves the likes of us, who does it by his grace, by his will. He saves, forgives, cleanses from all unrighteousness, makes us alive. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, he makes us alive. Alive to plead for his mercy. And oh, how he gives it more and more and more. In Christ. In Christ alone. And look how his mercy is new this day. He exalts you. He exalts you and says that you are a child of his own making. You are a child that has the same standing before him even as his son. You are exalted before God the Father, not by your own working, but because of the working of Jesus Christ. In the preaching of his gospel you receive. And look how his mercy is so great. For he gives you the fruit of that one sacrifice to eat and to drink his very body and his blood. God, who is rich in his mercy, because of his great love, he loves you. And has made you alive in Christ. And sustains you by his grace, even in word and sacrament this day. And teaches you to humble yourself, to consider yourself a sinner, and to not be afraid to plead for his mercy, because he will grant it in his Son. And he does grant it in his Son right now. In your hearing. Believe it. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Well, there's a sermon from Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church at Brookfield, Illinois, on the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I'm put in mind, every time I hear good preaching on the subject of that parable, I'm put in mind of Luther's thoughts, where he talks about God having no time, no use for imitation sinners. people who consider themselves part-time sinners rather than full-time professional sinners. I mean, if sin is only a part-time problem for you, you don't need a full-time savior, do you? And the sad thing is a lot of Christians believe that their problem, sin, is a part-time problem, that they're amateur sinners. And to match that, they really only need Jesus, who does just so much for them, not everything. They certainly don't need a full-time professional savior as Jesus is. But in this parable, Jesus shows us what kind of a savior he is in proportion to the kind of sinner we are. If you don't believe you have any sin, you don't need Jesus at all, do you? If you're one of those Christians who think that sin is a past problem for you, then, well, Jesus is a past savior for you, isn't he? If you think you only got a little sin, you only need a little savior and a little Jesus. But what Jesus commends in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is the man who says, "Be merciful to me, the sinner." 100% sinner, and he needs a 100% savior, which is exactly what he gets in Jesus Christ. When we come back, we're going to talk about Esau forgiving Jacob. Tom Numala of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A candidate for school board in Fairfax County, Virginia, has ended her campaign. She's going to be busy facing criminal charges of vehicular assault. Charisse S.P. Glassman of Falls Church is accused of intentionally hitting pro-lifers with her car during the March for Life in Washington, D.C. It's said she laughed when she struck pro-life pedestrians near the Supreme Court building. But this isn't the first time pro-abortion activists have engaged in vehicular assault against pro-life individuals. There's at least 6 incidents on record in the last couple of years. When pro-abortion people don't have a persuasive argument, they often resort to more radical measures to make their point. These people need our prayers. God would soften their hearts toward the unborn and those who speak out for them.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.